Y'all know who W.H. Auden is? Okay, there's one person who knows who W.H. Auden is. He was one of the great... Yeah, that's right. Oh, and boy, there's two. We've 100% increased there. He's an author, one of the fine literary figures of the 20th century. He wrote an awful lot of things, this and that. He said this is one of his famous quotes: "We are here on earth to do good for others. What the others are here for, I don't know." Sharp guy. So I want to. You know, we're going to be saving the duck, duck, goose section of the worship for the potluck this morning. No, I understand. I appreciate that, Sonny. Thank you. I just couldn't resist the joke. Okay. All right. I'm gonna have to take control of this, or Jack's going to call another election and... I heard of a few priests who really enjoyed okay. So here we are. W.H. Auden said, "Don't know what these others are here for." And the idea is that it can be difficult in some ways for us to show mercy. And we can find easy ways to help people. And one of the things that can happen is that we can be there for people. And that is different from being there with people. In fact, there's a tremendous difference. So some of the ways that we're there for people is that we give money to a cause and we're there for them. Or we make other contributions and we're there for them. Or we do things that otherwise may help in one way or another and we're there for them. Being there with them comes to another level. It's just a whole other level. And what I want to suggest to you today is that even though we see in the story of the Good Samaritan that the Samaritan did something for the person who was beaten and robbed and so forth, there was also an element of being with that's very instructive to us and very helpful to us. See, mercy is really the ability to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what, you know, remember this man in the story said, "Well, must I do to have eternal life? And you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Well, yes, do this and you will live. Mercy is that quality, loving your neighbor as yourself. In other words, being with someone and walking through life with them as opposed to only doing something for them. Now, don't stop doing things for people. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that we go a level deeper with Jesus by doing something with them. So here's the Good Samaritan, and he goes out of his way at great expense to help a stranger. You know, today, even now, someone who goes out of the way to help a stranger is often called a Good Samaritan. Even, you know, news stories, and a Good Samaritan stopped and helped so-and-so. That's the way it goes. Now, Jesus and the lawyer who wanted to trick him, which was the whole purpose of that conversation today, both agree that the Good Samaritan showed mercy. And they also agree that showing mercy is what it is to be a neighbor. Now, what I'm hoping already is that your idea of mercy is expanding. As we look at the story, most modern descriptions of mercy come from crime stories and all this, and the villain, the perpetrator of the crime, it has somebody, and mercy is to not inflict the pain that they were planning to inflict. That's usually what we think of as mercy. We're planning something bad and we hold back. That's mercy. It is mercy, but mercy goes wider than that. It's to seek the overall benefit of the other person in every way, every possible way. The overall benefit of the other person is what mercy is about. Or in other words, to love your neighbor as yourself, because you would be seeking your overall benefit in everything you do, and that's loving yourself. So you would love your neighbor, who, as Jesus is suggesting here, is everyone, the way you would love yourself. That would be mercy. Seeking their overall benefit in every way. Doesn't matter who they are. And we could start drawing all various kinds of conclusions here, because the Samaritans and the Jews had this tremendous racial hatred and separation. And for a Samaritan to help a Jew, or the other way around, was really unheard of in those days, and probably very dangerous. But that's, you know, that's kind of the obvious way that it goes. There's something that'll hit much closer to home for most of us in showing mercy, and it would be this. You want to share something of your faith with a friend. Maybe something's happened with you and your faith was good, you want to share it with them, or you want them to come along with you, as we've talked about from time to time here. And you're hesitant, thinking, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? What if I share my faith, share something that happened with me, answer the prayer or whatever, and then they ask me some question and I just don't know, maybe I don't even know what they're talking about, let alone know what the answer is. So we might hesitate with that. So what do you do? Well, my suggestion here is that you go along in what Jesus told you, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. So, you might say something like this. I don't know. Good question. Let's find out together. And you start finding out why they asked that question. That maybe they're not even interested in it at all, but there's something else. They might even be throwing tough questions at you because they don't want to lose your relationship. They're thinking of anything they possibly can to engage you. They might not want to fight with you, but that's the only way that they know. That's maybe the only religious question that's occurred to them for some years. So they throw it at you, hoping that you can go deeper. Often see that in different situations. So our response of mercy, finding the best possible outcome, the full benefit for that person that is talking with us, is the way to go. And that's what Jesus means here. And you can think of it this way. It's kind of a more negative assessment of what's going on. Be honest. If you're afraid of looking incompetent because you do not know an answer, then who are you more concerned about? You or your neighbor? Thank you for not answering out loud. You know, I think you know what it is. You get the ability to love your neighbor that way. Loving your neighbor as yourself through loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. With everything you have. And Jesus is always the point, all the time, without any exception. When Jesus is always the center, always the target, always the hope, then you're in the position to be receiving the ability to love other people as you love yourself. One of the benchmarks of that is that you're less concerned about looking incompetent than you are about whether this person is growing. In other words, you're less interested in doing for this person than you are with being with this person. Now, how do I make that leap? Why do I say, if I'm loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, I am then able to be more interested in being with this person? Because of the name of God. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel doesn't mean God for us, although God is for us. It's God with us. The promise most often repeated in the New Testament is, I will be with you. There's other ways of doing that. And what can separate us from the love of God? It's God always with us. When you are loving God with all that you have, you're becoming like Jesus. And when you're becoming like Jesus, one of the things that happens is that you have his ability to be with people and not only leave it at doing something for people. Keep in mind, keep doing things for people. Just don't let that be the end of the road. And when you get to the end of that road and you don't know what else to do, how am I going to be with people? That's when you circle back and reconnect with God. That's where you open yourself to God and say, I want to love you with all that I have. Help me do that. What's the next thing that we might do together? You and me, God, so that my love for you deepens. And then the other marks of that start coming through in your life. You may even find that your friend who starts throwing really hard questions at you is throwing easier questions at you the next time. Because that need to be with, to be together, has been satisfied to a greater degree. That's how the people begin seeing Jesus in your life. It's not just you doing for them, which will open the door, but you being with them helps. It just helps them see Jesus. And it helps you see Jesus too. Now there's all kinds of catchy sayings for this that can begin to get us off the track. One of the most popular is this. People will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Well, that's true. Unless you define caring as doing for. If that's the only definition you have of what it is to care for somebody, is to do something for them, then you'll just fall short of what it is to demonstrate the presence of God and how God loves them. And when you can go deeper and wider and be with them, then there's more of God that is obvious, it's magnified. Do you see what I mean? Do you want to ask any questions, make a comment at this point about any of this? Okay, I'm sorry, Carol had her hand up first. Yeah, that's right there. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that is the most difficult for anyone to overcome.
Right.
Not just loving the person if they have difficult questions for you, but if they're a difficult person. And so the more that you can step back from something that feels like you're going to be insecure in that relationship, step back and say, God, help me with my insecurity and let me focus on what they're really saying. What I can do to get to know them better.
Right.
You move past your insecurity. And the focus is all on you.
That's right. Yeah, and one way to add to that is that it's not just you who's with them. There may be other friends that you bring into that circle. Sometimes it's just you trying to be with them. It very quickly slips over to you doing something for them so they don't feel negative or bad or whatever it may be. But when there's a circle of friends they're in, then who they are comes out more. Yeah. Kathy.
Is there another, I just don't understand the greatest commandment, what it's about that, it's like two commandments,
right.
But the greatest commandment.
Right.
And is that in another,
yeah. Yeah, it appears in other Gospels, and another way that Jesus says it, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So they're equal in that way in the same. And then he sums it up by saying, on these two hang all the law and all the prophets. Was that what you were getting at?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Right. Tell them. Yeah, that's an excellent point. And, you know, when you're reaching across various lines, economic lines, helping somebody maybe who has no food or whatever, and you're trying to get to know them, that's a lot of work on our part to show that we want to be with you. We're interested in you. Because they won't believe it for a while. Maybe. Okay, you can have a second comment. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the spirit hovers over chaos. That's Genesis 1. This side of the room, anyone? Okay. All right. Well, let me... let me just underline this and then give you two challenges. One is this. One of the signs that you're coming to know Jesus better is that you want the best for everyone you meet. That is one of the main signs. That's mercy. You're showing mercy. You desire that great benefit for anyone and everyone. Now, the guy who cuts you off on Broad Street, you want the best for that one? Sure. That's the sign of Jesus. Maybe you find your fourth or fifth reaction is, Lord, would you help this person get home safely without anybody else being, you know, something like that. And when it gets to the third, that's better. Way then. Yeah. Right. Right. The whole, right. The entire hand. Palm. Yeah, that's right. Yes. Wave at them. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Great. Well, that's one of the main benchmarks. Yeah, Kat. Libby. Oh, okay, yeah. Her 3-year-old had a prophetic word for her. That's right.
He's about yelling at people now. Yeah.
right. Okay. Well, here's the two challenges. You know, remember, one of the benchmarks that you're knowing Jesus better is what you want for everyone else around you. What you want. What is God telling you today about how much you know Jesus? And for each one of us, it may be something different. He'll be speaking to you about where you are, who you are, how your life has been, all of that. Speaking something about how you know Jesus. He'll just call you by name and say, do you know my son here? Something, whatever that is, that he's shining his light on. And then what does Jesus want you to do this week so that you know him better? And he'll tell you that. He's not asking you to think it up all by yourself. He'll tell you. he'll just say, let's try this together. What do you say? And you'll come to know him better that when you do that. Remember, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. So Jesus may ask you to do something just because he said so. Instead of having you say, Jesus, I'm doing this for you. And his answer may be, to obey is better than sacrifice. All right, let that settle in for a little bit. Email me Thursday or Friday with questions, okay? Just go with it for a little while. That'll be great. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, you are above all others. And to know you is the great call upon our lives. And so we ask now for the power of your Spirit to know you more deeply than we have ever known from this day on, for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.